sticks, progress, game boards, objects, view like pawns till we change up our mindset. Value of the dollars at the center of this conflict, the lives only matter if they serve to make a profit. But if a midget sees further on the shoulders of the giant, then we should see further than the tyrant and build a future within alliance where success is our science in the quest to go higher. It's the heart of the city.
Wake up, world. You are listening to The Heart of the City. I am your host, Malik Boyd. Happy Wednesday to you. I hope that wherever you are in good spirits and all is well on your side of the kingdom. This is going to be an amazing show. We've had so many inboxes this week, as we always do, and we want to give out a shout out to everyone who continuously gives us feedback, support. We truly appreciate it. This is part two of a show that seems to be a series in the making. Teresa and I have been talking about this healing concept, and we start off with our first healing show, and now this is part two, a time for healing with none other than Anika Lee Thompson, and you're going to hear about her and her story relatively soon. But first, I want to pay respects to Robert Godwin. This is the older gentleman who I considered, not only he was a grandfather of 14. But when I looked at the video, and I actually had an opportunity to see the video in its entirety, which shook me to my core, actually. It brought me to tears to watch this older gentleman lose his life at the hands of one Steve Stevens, who the nation went on a manhunt to find this individual who took his own life. And it was clear that there was mental health challenges around his situation. But I want to pay respects to the family of Robert Godwin and pay respects to him as well. Self-taught mechanic, a guy who did a lot in the community and a lot for his family. It's clear that we have challenges with Steve Stevens. Mental health is clearly rearing its ugly head, and maybe it is already reared his head for some time, and we're now just beginning to see it because technology is allowing us to shine a light on it. In the midst of all of that, in the midst of the manhunt, Aaron Hernandez took his life, the former tight end of the New England Patriots. He took his life in his jail cell by way of hanging. Last week, Judge Sheila Abdus Salaam, first black woman to be appointed to a seat on New York's highest court, was found floating in the Hudson River last week. In addition, Judge Raymond Miles, Cook County Associate Judge, lost his life tragically shot in front of his home. It is now being reported that that was a robbery attempt. And there are countless other incidents that have been occurring across the country. These are some of the more high-profile incidents that have occurred, but it's sending our community and our country in an uproar in all kinds of ways. And we are becoming almost numb to the violence that has occurred. And just because we have this numbness does not mean that it has not affected us. We've just learned how to compartmentalize, process, and try to keep it moving or keep it subdued as much as possible. But I list all of these cases to say that all of these are affecting all of us in various ways. And it is very important, as we believe on the show, not only to address it through legislation and advocacy and all these things, but to also cover these families and these scenarios in prayer. And so to that end, we have on the line Minister Keith Reed Jr. of the Sharon Baptist Church right here in Philadelphia. He is going to do our prayer for the city. Minister Keith, how are you today, brother?
What's going on, Malik? Can you hear me?
I got you good, loud, and clear. It's good to have you on the show.
Awesome, awesome. So glad to be here with you guys.
Well, sure. we definitely appreciate you, and we are going to ask you to take us into our two-minute prayer for the city.
Awesome, awesome. Dear Father God, we just thank you for this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful day that you have given us and allowed us to see, a day that we've never seen before. God, we just want to thank you for being who you are. We want to thank you for the things that you're doing in our lives and in our hearts, Father. We just also want to come to you and also just cleanse our hearts and our minds, Father. We have done some things that weren't necessarily of you and things that didn't make you smile, Father. So we just bring those to you right now and ask you to forgive us for all of our sins that we may have done. God, and we want to lift up your city, Father God, the city of Philadelphia, Father God. Lift up the radio show, Father. Because you know our hearts, Father, you know our concerns, and you know the things that we need, and we know that we need you, you know, and not all of us may think that or know that, Father, but the people that are on the show and people who are connected to you know you are the only one that can really heal all of our problems, Father God, and fix them all. In the name of Jesus, Father, we just thank you for what you're going to do throughout this week, Father. We just thank you for the people who are listening in and the people who are going to be listening in, Father. We just ask that you just open up their minds and their hearts, Father, and, soften their hearts, Father, so that the things that are going to be said throughout the airways, Father, may convict them and cause change throughout their lives and provoke them to want to be active in their communities and also help other people, God. We just thank you for this time that we're going to be able to spend with each other in your name, Father, and we just want to give you all the glory and the honor that you deserve for what you're going to do throughout this time that we're on the air, Father. We just thank you and praise you in your precious Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We appreciate that sincere prayer. And so, Minister Keith, can you tell us, for those who are outside of the region, because Sharon has a legendary footprint here in the Philadelphia area, but for those who are outside, can you just let them know where they can find you and find the Sharon Baptist Church and engage in the ministry and worship with you?
Oh, yeah, for sure. But appreciate that. appreciate that, man. We're in the Winfield Heights area, right off of City Line Avenue. That's 3955 Conshohocken Avenue in Philadelphia, right around the corner from St. Joseph's. That's where praise God, and that's where the family comes in and has a great time in his name. We have a lot of things that are getting ready to happen. My father is actually celebrating his 35th pastoral anniversary.
Beautiful.
Coming up soon.
Beautiful.
So that is a big monument for his life as well as for the ministry. So we're inviting everybody to come out and celebrate with us this month.
Wonderful, wonderful. We'll tell your father, we appreciate him and everything that he's doing in the ministry and for the city, and we appreciate everything that you are doing as well.
Oh, well, appreciate that. I'll make sure I get that message to him.
Appreciate it, and continue blessings on you and your life, brother.
All right. Awesome. Thank you guys so much. Teresa, you're awesome.
She has the big Kool-Aid smile. Later.
So are you. Thanks.
Awesome. All right. Take care, guys.
Take care. So in the studio with me, Fathers Lead 365.
Yep.
Yes, they are back. As you know, every third Wednesday, we talk about all things fathers.
Yes.
I only got one father to get behind me on that. Let me try it again. Every third Wednesday, we talk about all things fathers.
Yes, we do. Yes. Fathers. Pump it up for the fathers.
Absolutely. And so Fathers Lead 365 has been doing amazing work in the city and in the region as it relates to just tying men together through this journey of fatherhood, learning how to braid.
Yeah. Very important.
How to oil the hair correctly.
There you go. Yes. How not to tie it too tight.
Yeah, not to create those little hair bumps, right? Yeah, and just being there and showing up in positive ways, whether it be at the daycare, through reading.
Mm-hmm.
The program that you guys have championed, 30 daycares in 30 days,
yes,
right?
Yes,
And not just that, but being able to talk to fathers about some of the challenging things that you may not be able to talk about with others.
And that's the thing, man. This work has got us so busy in so many different avenues in fatherhood. A lot of people, when you think father groups, fatherhood, you think We just work with fathers. Mm-hmm. A lot of father programs literally around getting jobs. And us knowing that, it's like, nah, that's why the 365 is there. It's every day. It's an everyday commitment. And it's not just bringing home the bacon. The days of just bringing home the bacon and just being a disciplinarian, that's over. That's over. It's been over. But that stigma still lives long and strong. And our mission, you know, when they putting the dirt on me, one of the things they're going to be able to say, that guy helped with his partners and the fathers that got involved, helped change the how we perceive fathers and the narrative of what and who fathers are.
That is Brent Johnstone, who has been running over linebackers and defensive lines and taking out challenges since high school. Keith has been doing the same thing. His partner has been, and I look at Facebook, I see you right there in the salon like, yo, let's get it. Let's, like, and it's really exciting to see brothers who are defying stereotypes, right? Because you're two football players, right? So everybody would think, oh, these guys just know gridiron, tackling, dirt, you know.
You should see the looks on the people's face when we show up for Father's Read. It's always very skeptical, like, what are these two men?
What are they going to do?
Right. Wow. And how fun is this really going to be?
Right.
About halfway in, you see them, they all in it. They like, unbelievable about it. And they're like, wow, we didn't think. You know, and they tell us, we didn't think you guys were going to do what you did or get into it.
I saw this one Facebook post. You guys were reading in a daycare. And Akeem, you're like, what, 6'3", 6'4"?
7 foot. But in the physical, I'm about 6'2".
But he's in the back of this Facebook post with this Kevin Hart face, like, and the kids are wrapped around you, you know, and I know you, Brent, like, you're a comedian, you know, through and through. And so I know what reading was like for these kids, right? Mm. And these are the same things I do for my children, you know, like, reading matters, and it creates a bond. And so, Keith, tell me what it's been like. You guys are on a 30-day daycare tour.
Mm-hmm. 30 and 30.
Yes, 30 and 30. It's, you know, it's exciting because it's the chase. You know, will we be able to do 30 daycares in 30 days? You would think, you know, a couple guys coming into the community, read. We don't get acceptance all the time. And, you know, that's okay. It's 8 million daycares right in Philadelphia alone. So we better get in 30.
But you got to understand, for daycare providers, they're like, who are these two husky dudes that are coming in at 10:30 in the morning talking about we're ready to read?
And
you know?
I also think it goes back to that narrative.
Yeah.
Went to a daycare on Vernon Road up in Mount Airy, and I said, hey, here's who we are. This is what we do. She said, well, we read to our babies already. I said, okay, cool. We are just trying to provide some more resources, better imagery for the kids.
Absolutely.
And it was more fight back. And I said, you know, hey, it's just two fathers from the community trying to show our kids that we love them. And that broke her down. To where she's saying, oh, okay. They never called back. But
it was a partial break.
Right. At that moment, she felt where I was coming from. Yeah. But to the feeling, there's literally no feeling like it at all. I call them all moments.
Wow.
And we get about 2-3 all moments every daycare. We did one in Mount Airy, Doreen Williams, her daycare, and it was this little girl. She refused to be part of it. She stayed actually on my aunt. My aunt works there. Okay. She stayed on her lap from the beginning. So as we're reading, you see her get off the lap.
Right.
Then she come a little closer. Uh-huh. Then by the middle, she doing the dances and screaming like everyone else.
Yeah.
And when it was over, my aunt said, hey, how did you like this? I'm not going to say her name.
Right.
She said, this was awesome.
That's what's up.
And it was like,
that's what's up.
And she was about 2 years old.
Right.
2 years old.
She barely got awesome out, but she said, this awesome. This awesome. That's what she said. This awesome.
Wow.
And it was like, wow. And those are those moments that you can't, it's a no paycheck, no pat on the back, no words can explain how good that makes you feel. Or the little girl The lady was brought to tears. Mm-hmm. She like, wow. There's this one little girl, Ogas Avenue. This little girl would not stay off of me, and not in a bad
yeah,
way.
I'm with you, I'm with you.
It was like, this is my, right now, this yeah. is my daddy, and I'm getting daddy time. And that's when it was over, the director said, you know, that little girl has nobody in her life, no men. And she said to see her reaction to a man.
Wow.
Was, and she started crying and just like, that's unbelievable. And encouraging yeah. us to keep doing it, because in a lot of places that we are going, mm-hmm. they don't have father figures in the house, or the ones that they may have may not be the ones that you necessarily want them learning from. So when they see us, we look like guys from around the way. We're not dressed any different than what the guys look like. We're having fun. We're enjoying. We're hugging these kids, giving high five. You're beautiful. Told a little black boy today, you are beautiful. Your skin is beautiful. And just thank you. He lit up. And the teacher said, you know, they don't hear that enough. So the feeling and that work that we're doing, it really, we can't even tell you about it, honestly. Right, and that's why we encourage fathers.
It's G5 classified.
There you go.
You got to join the group to be a part of it. So this is really therapy. I mean, you're addressing some things and trying to get ahead of potential mental health issues that can develop by not having this balanced approach to parenthood. So Akeef, you're on this mission. What's next? What's next for Father's Leap?
You know, I funny on social media today, I said I've been keeping my mouth shut. And
yeah, that was like your Don Corleone statement. Yeah.
But you know, I find myself being in the work and really taking action. That, you know, I let the work speak for itself. And it's just an amazing experience to be not only with these youth, but, you know, now building relationships with the community as well.
Wow.
And just the possibilities that are there. So, you know, we have our reading program. We have a cooking program we'll be doing coming up in the future, working the kids out. We also have our Building Better Fathers workshop. And we have one more, Brent. What is the other one? Whatever it is.
No, the jail program, but the prison program.
Prison program.
Wow.
So we have a lot of things lined up. But, you know, we're just staying in action and making sure we're focused. Because there are a lot of things being, you know, that will come in your life. Because life is, you know, will constantly happen. And it's just how can we stay to our mission and continue to uplift our communities and invest in our community.
These brothers are not a part of the CIA. They are part of FIA, Focused and in Action. So, Brett, tell us, how do we get involved?
So how do you get involved? You can go to our website, which is fatherslead365.com. You can sign up for our mailing list, or you can always be abreast of everything we're doing. And then you also can you can donate there if you just want to, hey, you know, here's a couple of dollars for you guys, keep doing what you're doing. Or you can sign up to be an active father in a reading program, or to come out to our Fathers Building Better Fathers workshops. They are every 2 weeks, bi-weekly during a month. And in the newsletter, we update guys on when that's going on. Also, we have an initiative. Got to give a shout out to my man, Ryan Barksdale, a local police officer. He's helping us spearhead Fathers Working It Out in the 25th District.
Beautiful.
He's going to work out with children, and also my friend Marcus Godfrey, who's from that neighborhood. So we're pairing police officers in the neighborhood with members of the community who are success stories. And we're going in, we're working these kids out for 20 minutes, basic, what you can do, no weights, no nothing. If you're in your house, this is how you can stay in shape. 20 minutes of that, and then 40 minutes of group guided discussion around issues that are affecting our young men in our communities. And just being real and doing that as a way of bridging the gap between the elders in the community and also the police, law enforcement in the community. So if you are out there, you're from any district, if you want a specific district to volunteer in, or you just want to work out, sign up for our mailing list, email us at fatherslead365@gmail.com. And start the conversation. It's very intimate. It's very grassroots right now. So good chance you'll get one of us.
No doubt.
And we can build this out. And we're literally taking that approach.
That's a beautiful thing, man. So fathers, get involved.
Please.
Yes.
You know, hit the email, hit the website, join these brothers as they heal. our community in their own way, being there, showing up, being positive, and being active and focused in our children and in our community. That is an amazing undertaking, and you guys are doing it. And mm-hmm. so my hat is off to the two of you for the thank work that you're doing, you know, for us and for the men of the community. The show is A Time for Healing. Anika Lee Thompson is in the building, the founder and CEO of Alt Hair Care and Ryan Foster, Inc. Yes, she is here, and we are going to talk about her story. We're going to talk about her resilience and overcoming the challenges in her life. This is part two of A Time for Healing. The song for the week is Van Hunt, Hold My Hand. Yes, I think this is kind of appropriate because we are going to hold hands and heal. Check out this song, Van Hunt. Van Hunt, Hold My Hand. An incredible record from an incredible artist. Make sure you check him out. Support his work. It is an incredible album. On the other side of the break, Anika Lee Thompson, the CEO of Alt Hair Care and Ryan Foster, Inc. The show, A Time for Healing. You are listening to The Heart of the City.
This Wednesday, 1 p.m., drop everything that you're doing and tune in right here, The Heart of the City, with me, Malik Boyd. This is a no-holds-barred show. Real issues, real discussions, real solutions. And with some great guests, hot topics, and some surprises mixed in, I promise you this will be a show you don't want to miss. The Heart of the City with me, Malik Boyd, Wednesday, 1 p.m., right here on 860.
My friends, this is Joe Krause. You've heard me on Philadelphia radio now for over 20 years, and you know I don't often endorse products or people unless they are real game changers. I want to tell you about Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located in Center City, Philadelphia. And at the end of this short personal endorsement, I want you to consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness. If you are recovering from an injury, if you or a family member has been diagnosed with a disorder that has stopped you in your tracks, or if you're like me, determined to learn about wellness while getting yourself prepared to stay healthy so you can enjoy the blessings of your family. Remember the name of this warm and caring location, Weinerman Pain and Wellness. Why should you consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness? Because they are who you expect them to be. Weinerman Pain and Wellness, on the web at WeinermanPainandWellness.com.
Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located at 100 South Broad Street, just south of City Hall. Call Weinerman Pain and Wellness at 215-988-9503. That's 215-988-9503. Call today. Today's broadcast is brought to you by the Philly Labor RX Injured Workers Pharmacy Network, featuring PPC Pharmacy, First Choice Pharmacy, and Precision Scripts, providing injured workers with premium products and services from the point of injury through the entire healing process. The Philly Labor RX Pharmacy Network cares about injured workers.
Introducing the YMCA. What, you already know the why? Or so you think. Sure, you know the why for a swim, a workout, even a game of hoops. But did you know we're more than that? We're a cause. When you take your jump shot at the Y, someone else is getting job training. Take a cardio class while kids are in an after-school enrichment program. Practice your downward-facing dog as a teen practices her leadership skills. That's the Y. We work with people no matter their age, income, or background, and give them the opportunity to learn, grow, and thrive. All with one simple goal in mind, to strengthen our community. and we've got so much more that does just that. So while you might think of the Y as that place for lifting weights, we're also about lifting entire communities. Introducing the Y. We're so much more than a place. We're a cause. Visit ymca.net/more.
Welcome back to the Heart of the City. I am your host, Malik Boyd. The show is A Time for Healing. This is part two of what will probably be an ongoing series for us as we address mental health issues, as we address the challenges and the stress that we have compartmentalized and not necessarily properly processed as we adjust our culture and our community towards a higher level of progress, a higher level of attainment. It's cleaning house, getting some of this stuff up and out of our system. And in the studio with me is none other than Anika Lee Thompson, the founder and CEO of Alt Hair Care and Ryan Foster, Inc. It is so good to have you on the airwaves with
us. It is amazing to be on here with you.
Wonderful. So I've seen you operate for years, even in the beginning stages in the thought process around Alt Hair Care. Yeah. It's reality. Ryan Foster is thriving. And so you're this entrepreneur who has this unique grasp on business, community, like you span all of these, you know, all of the spectrum, right? And so tell us what it's like being and seeing all these things come to fruition, and now you're on top of the vision. You're on top of the mountain, right?
Right. I guess if people's perception of where I'm at right now is like standing on top of the mountain, I'm flattered because I still feel like I'm looking from the bottom up at the mountain. Like I'm looking at my idea, and my idea is always grander than where I'm at. And so it always gives me a space to grow to.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of keeps me humble in all of my newness, everything that I feel like is brand new.
Okay.
And I guess having so many things to juggle, sometimes I say, dear God, why are you giving me this juggling act all the time? And why are you throwing me another ball? But I love to constantly feel like I'm renewing myself. So it's been an amazing journey.
Well, you're an amazing inspiration, not only to women, but to entrepreneurs.
Thank you.
And being able to see something go from concept
to
full implementation and realization. And so we could talk about that all day.
Right.
But there is this amazing incident that has occurred, you know, on social media that you spearheaded. And I want to take my hat off and commend you for it first.
Thank you.
Because I think it was brave and bold to do. We were always taught, you know, don't put your business in the street, you know, don't put your family's issues out there in front of strangers, pull yourself up by the bootstraps and get yourself together. There's nothing wrong with you. Mm-hmm. Even when people saw the incidents take place or came into a realization of it. And the truth is, many African Americans have gone without needed care and or therapy in whatever form that is.
Right.
Whether it's yelling it out, whether it's, you know, dealing with psychotherapy in a clinical professional. But normally we don't deal with it until it's well into the crisis stage.
Yes, and past.
Yeah, and so far gone that it's buried under so many layers of life, right? But last week, you hit social media not to talk about your budding hair care line or the expanding Ryan Foster salon, but to talk about overcoming pain.
Right.
And a major challenge in your life. And you shared some things that probably had everybody's mouth hit the floor when
Absolutely.
They read. But they did not read just in a sense of being newsy.
Right.
So much support.
Right.
And came
relatedness.
Your way. Yeah.
Yes.
And people started relating and talking about their own experiences. Mm-hmm. And so today I want to talk about your journey.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of people that want part two. You know, they're like, oh, my gosh, she's coming on the show. So I want to hear more because Facebook can only give you so much.
Mm-hmm.
But for the listening audience, if you're open to it, share with them what you experienced.
Okay. So, I can go back as early as probably like two, maybe three. And someone asked me last week, like, what is grooming? Because I mentioned grooming a lot in the post. And it starts off with just my stepfather, a story about my stepfather and I kind of really just playing, you know. And he's the guy that will say yes when my mom says no. He would just entertain any thought that I could come up with. If I conjure up something I wanted to do, he was down to do it. And it was, he was the guy that I kind of gravitated towards. And my mother and my father had been split up since I could ever remember. I never remember my parents being together. But Lewis was my mother's boyfriend at the time, eventually her husband, who wound up being the guy that was there every single day. And took advantage of me as a little kid. He started touching me and introducing me to a lot of sexual things. We had pornography around the house. So if my mom wasn't home, he would play it, and not necessarily play it for me to actually see it at that point, but maybe to hear it. He would wrestle with me and start touching me in my private areas, and not necessarily inserting his fingers at that time, but just like heavy petting. There was a lot of inappropriate conversations, just things that a father wouldn't say, but he would mask it and, you know, do something great right afterwards. You know, there would be like this great trip, or we'd go fishing, or we'd, you know, learn karate, or it was always something, or I was fixing the car, or, you know, something that I really needed his attention for. And, you know, when you have a child that my mom was in school at the time, from the time I was really little, I don't think she went back to school till maybe I was about 6 or 7, but at that time they had just gotten married, and I was craving a father, daughter, mother in the house, you know, situation, a family situation.
Right.
I wanted that in my house. And I don't necessarily know that that was because my parents weren't together, because that wasn't my reality ever. But I needed that at the time. And he fit in. It was like a split personality, like a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde kind of thing.
Wow.
On one side, the guy that he presented to the world was this perfect guy. You know, he was involved in the Masons. He was involved in, he would fix anybody's car in the neighborhood. He would play with the kids outside. He seemed like everything was fine in our house. You didn't hear my mother and him argue. You didn't see us going through anything that little. But for me, my private life was something completely different.
So that has to be challenging. I mean, to know that, that at some point throughout an evening or experience inside of these four walls, that something traumatic is going to happen.
Yeah.
And so how did that affect you even in school, or, you know, in just dealing and trying to norm yourself in the social arena?
I was always trying to fit in. I always wanted to, looking for a safe space, and probably being very awkward in finding it. I was really distracted. I was in a great school, but I would, anything would distract me. If you look at any report card I had, I was great in my grades, but then my behavior, I was always somewhere else or just a daydreamer is how my kind of teachers would, you know, perceive me. Socially with kids, I probably gravitated to one or two that I wanted to be really close to.
Okay.
And I put like 100% into the relationship. And typically, whenever anything posed as a challenge, I did not know how to deal with that and found myself ostracized and made up a story in my head that kids didn't like me. But I was probably really weird,
with all
the things going on.
So I want the parents today to really listen to this show. And I think it's really important because sometimes we can miss things in the environment. You know, and depending on how individuals weave and interweave their storyline, they can mask certain things. And so it's very important to be in your child's life and ask the teacher what's going on if you're noticing different behaviors and recognizing the little things.
Yeah.
Because it's not always just acting out. It's always not, you know, mm-mm, taking your book bag and hitting another kid upside the head. It's some of those subtle behaviors. Mm-hmm. That won't get you to 3 on the report card. Right. It's just the 2.
Right. I remember my mom tells me a story of I wanted to change a boy's diaper in a nursery school, and he didn't have a diaper.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. So, you know, just little things now. And it's funny because somebody said to me that I don't necessarily think that she was a therapist or anything, but she said, you know, kids have inappropriate touch. Like, that's part of being a kid. And I get it that we have curiosity about each other, but I don't necessarily think that it goes that far unless there's not a watchful eye. And I think we come from a generation where parents say, you know, kids are best, you know, not seen and not heard, or seen and,
right,
you know, not heard.
Right.
We were kind of just, you know, out the picture a little too much. And, you know, it gives you a space to really... kind of act on your thoughts.
So this went on for years.
Years, from the time I was 2 until I was 12, every day. And then I had a stepsister that was coming over to the house every other weekend, and she had her time with me as well.
So it wasn't just one scenario. Mm-hmm. It spiraled.
And this was every day for he and myself, and then with my sister every weekend that she came until I was 9.
Wow. So... do you feel like it became a norm?
Yes. Yes. So much. So I'll say norm is normal for keeping secrets. Like, I knew something was wrong, but my normal was keeping it a secret because there was so much of a payoff, number one. Our family, I mean, we weren't rich, and but we were well taken care of. Mm-hmm. You know, we had things. And you start to value things more than you value your level of comfort.
That seems, you know, and even for those who may not have experienced something as traumatic, but material things have become the ultimate bait and switch as it relates to issues that we deal with within our community, right? And so I know this guy's no good, but I mean, we're at Del Frisco's in the vault every week.
Or, yep.
You know, I know she's no good for me, but, you know, she cooks like this. Or, you know, the intimacy is like that. Mm-hmm. And so it's detaching ourselves from the material trappings and to start dealing with the core of it.
The
right?
humanness.
Yeah, the human nature of it. And so how did this thing come to a head? I mean, it's because... from 2 to 12 is a very long time. It's it's a child forming and mental forming stage for, you know, for a child. For most would say, you know, at that point, you've begun to formulate pretty much who you're really going to be, right? And so by 13, 14, you're just putting a cap on it.
Right.
At least in terms of the process.
Right.
So how did that come to a head in all that you were dealing with?
So I spiraled. For a long time, and kept it together. You know, as long as I looked good and as long as I looked like I was, you know, okay, then things were okay. So with it coming to a head with, are you asking about just now? Like, how did that come to a head, or just in general, the lead up to?
How it led up to,
okay,
this thing is out here in the open. You know, what gave you the bravery?
The bravery. I have been wanting to do this for a long time.
Wow.
A long time. Like, every year I probably struggle with, this is my year. This is my year. I'm going to say something. And I had tried so many things in business, too.
Yeah.
You know, from having a salon, and then I closed it, and then the products, and, you know, something kind of happened with my trademarks and everything else with the product. And so many things that I had put so much energy into didn't manifest the way that I wanted it to. And I started thinking, okay, all right, I'm giving myself authentically to these other things. What is missing? And you have to like kind of retry because you keep starting things and then you get stopped and you don't know why you're stopping. And you're like, all right, I have to like kind of go back a little and say, when is the first time I was stopped like this? Where did this start? And so I was able to like pinpoint it to the first time that I felt like somebody took my voice from me. And, you know, we don't, nobody takes a voice out your mouth. You can still talk, but the thought that that's what happened, that's my breakdown in business. That's my breakdown everywhere, is I just stop communicating, or it's something just isn't doing what it's supposed to do. And it's typically me.
Right.
And I don't necessarily address what I bring to the table to cause that. So I said, all right, let me start thinking about that a little differently and start thinking about when the first time I actually had that experience and what did I do with that information. And when I was little, I would talk to myself. I always talked to myself in the mirror, and I would like work out all my issues. So if a conversation happened that day that I didn't like, I would, you know, rehave the conversation the way I wanted it to have. Well, the only place that that worked was in my head.
Right.
It didn't work out in reality because I was still dealing with the same issues. And so I said, it's time for me to try something different where I'm actually in the moment when things aren't working, like really be willing to take that on. And I said, all right, let me reverse. How does this work? And I started a nonprofit. My husband was like, oh, you should start your nonprofit. He was starting a nonprofit. I had talked about it all the time. And I said, all right, this might be my way at 41 to kind of step out of the things that make me stand on my feet.
Right.
And at first I wanted my nonprofit to be around natural hair care. And that was like, that felt so
safe.
Disingenuine though.
Wow.
Because I'm in a nonprofit institute and everybody's in there talking about, I want to save the world and cure cancer and create this safe space for people with AIDS. And I'm like, I'm doing natural hair.
Right.
And it just didn't feel right even expressing it. And I shared that in class. And when I was looking at my notes as I'm in class, I said, I have to think bigger. My husband always says, it's bigger. It's every time I would write my mission statement to him, he was like, no, it's bigger. It's bigger than that. And I didn't get what he was trying to say. And finally he said, it's around sexual abuse. And I was like, no, it is not around sexual abuse. It's not there. I don't know if I want to talk about this every day.
Right.
Like, because even now, this is my first interview. I'm like a jittery mess. I could feel the nerves inside my body, you know, talking about it. And I didn't know if I was ready to experience that on any level.
Well, I think it's important. You know, again, and I'll speak to the bravery of it, because it's a challenge. It's not just us in the room, but everybody on the other side of this mic, right? And so, but one of the things that you talked about, which I think is so important, not allowing your progress to be stagnated by the pause.
Yes.
Right? And
the
so
pause is just the pause.
And so most of us, we have that pause moment in our life. Something tragic happens, abuse happens, whatever the case may be. And rather than finding out where the play button is, we go to the next DVD or to the next VCR. Or, you know, and so we're like, all right, so that story stopped. I'm just going to put another one in. I'll never address this. And so we end up with a room full of scratched, paused DVDs.
Skips.
And we run out of VCRs to play them. Right? And so we realize we got to address
and a collection of things that you have to carry along with you in every situation. And I think that we forget that. We think we just pressed pause, right? Or we stopped and got stuck in a skip. But we carry that cassette and every other cassette we created along with us, and it becomes our baggage. But people meet that first. They don't meet you. They meet all of your cassettes that are constantly playing before they actually get to you. And I don't think people have the patience to really wait around to meet you, especially if they have to listen to too much.
And we have become a microwave society, right? We want everything quick, fast.
Right,
we want our cars fast. We want our food fast. We want our relationships to develop fast, right? And so there's no foundation. We prefab buildings, right? We need it up in 4 months, right? And no one's taking time to develop the craftsmanship, you know, that allows us to withstand the storm,
the foundation,
you know, and weather the test of time. And so, where are you now, like mentally? Because this thing is really, for most, they're looking at it as a story of strength, and you just stated like I'm going through it,
right?
Regardless of what you see in social media, regardless of how level my voice is,
right?
inside,
right?
You know, I got a lot of wheels turning.
Yeah.
And so, where are you now?
So after putting all this out, you know, I kind of patiently waited to see what kind of response I was going to get.
Okay.
And it was so good, like the responses for what other people were putting up. And I've been dealing with my own family things, you know, like, well, how come they haven't responded this way? And how come nobody's called me and said this?
Right.
And I have my dad who I've always had this really open relationship and willing to have conversations with him and be open. And I've had my mom, my relationship with her, where as long as it was okay, we could talk about it, or as long as it didn't get past maybe a level five, we could withstand it.
Right.
And I don't know what that is for her or me, but my mom is probably the last piece to my puzzle that I haven't talked to yet. We haven't talked for the last maybe couple of weeks like we normally talk. We talk probably 15 times a day, you know, and now we're down to like a text. She sent me one text last week, and I had one conversation and saw her on Easter. And then I got one text this morning. And she's my CFO of my company. So, you know,
have a call.
And listen, right. I know. Right. And it's like the strangest thing. And I had a friend this morning, Twiggy, shout out to you, girl. She said, you have to have this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're waiting for this conversation, and I'm waiting for the conversation as well. And I said, is this a conversation I ask for? So I publicly, Mom, ask you for our conversation. I'm sure she's listening, but I need that, that to be able to move past where she's at, because I know she's hurting too.
Yeah.
Because this, me letting this out, wasn't just about me. You know, where people are saying, you know, well, you were the one that was abused. You also have to be on the parent side. This was somebody that she loved, that she was in a relationship with. This is now her second marriage that failed. This is somebody that's also hurt her to her core. I can't even imagine how I would feel if I found out that my husband or somebody that I love touched my child.
Yeah,
I don't know how I would deal with that. And what she did with the information when she got it, how she handled it, is just how she handled it. Like, it's not about where that is today, because it gave me the power to be able to be here and talk to you and be able to share it and maybe give reflection for some other parents that they don't have to go down that. So we're not going to be able to reverse that and take that back. But there is an acknowledgement. There is an acknowledgement of, you know what, I was wrong. And she did send me a I'm sorry and you're right on Facebook. But I didn't receive it the way I needed to receive it. And that's probably part of me, too, needing to receive something in a certain way and not being willing to accept the way it came. Because some people aren't equipped with the way you want to respond to things.
And that's a major challenge, is understanding everyone's love language in the middle of being affected by this thing. Right. So I'm healing and I'm trying to cope and I'm trying to deal. But then I also got to understand how you need to receive this, and you got to understand how I need to receive it, or else we spiral, right? Yeah. And so this isn't just a depression thing. This isn't just a specific abuse issue. This is dealing around mental health, period.
Right.
Because mental health, common mental health disorders amongst African Americans include major depression, ADHD, suicide, which we're seeing in the news with high profile cases, PTSD. PTSD is not just for the soldier. I need you guys to understand that. It is for individuals who have gone through molestation, like myself, like Anika, you know, those who have dealt with violent communities. You know, PTSD is not for the battlefield you think.
Right.
It's for the one you may be living in or have lived through. And so one of the things that I do want to address, and this is, I'll take the hit for this, guys, but African Americans have a strong core around spiritual belief. And so it empowers us in one sense, and it gives us the strength to kind of cope with stress, right? And so we show up in church, especially if we're going through something, right? We're in the front pew, right? And in every stressful situation, we say, God will give me the strength to overcome every obstacle. I got it. You know, God gives me this.
But God also gave us professionals. Mm-hmm. He also gave us resources and tools to help us get through it. And so every situation will not just be, well, God's got it.
Exactly.
Right? He has it, but he's also going to require us to have that faith walk ourselves.
Absolutely.
And step out and begin a healing process. Right?
Absolutely.
And so shout out to you for even doing that. And moving beyond the, you know, we're just going to pray and just sit and pray and just leave it alone. And you know, it's more to that.
Yeah. And I was raised to go to church sometimes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I wasn't in church all the time. So I am more based on self-healing, you know, and really being accountable for self-preservation and what you do with your life. You know, I've never been one to say, God help me get out of this. I mean, there are moments that I've probably prayed for God to get me out of it, and I do believe in God. But insofar as being accountable for where I'm at in my head, it's always like, okay, what's next? What's next? Like, just move past it. And maybe that wasn't always the best way to be, but it allowed me not to get stuck. And so I never wanted to rely on someone else to fix something. I wanted to know that I could do it myself so I wouldn't get stuck. I was so afraid of being broken, even at an early age. I think that's what that right. talking in the mirror was about, because I was so afraid that that was going to make me go crazy. I used to always imagine myself like, this is not my life. I have this life, and this is the life that I'm going to live into, and I'm going to create this. And literally, I have walked myself into everything that I wanted to do because I spoke words into it. Like, words are powerful.
Yeah.
So when you choose to say, this is not working, or my life is messed up, or I can't forgive, or I can't get past this, you absolutely will manifest that. But the moment you start breathing positive things into the things that you're going through, you will see a change, because now you have to be what you've said.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you trust your words and you trust your vision of what you see your life to be, it will only be that.
So I also want to talk about, and I know we literally have 4 minutes to do it, but the National Alliance for Mental Illness states that African-American women tend to reference emotions related to depression as evil or acting out. That's what we label it, right? So when we see a woman specifically doing whatever particular action, we just want to say, as men, we're like, oh, she's just wilding out.
Right.
Or she's tripping. Or, we put these labels on it rather than digging deep and going, you know,
something
what?
Happened.
If I care, I need to dig into this and find out what's going on. And we see that as a great divide in our community as it relates to how we love, how we approach our relationships. And so to the brothers out there, including myself, it's very important for us to dig beyond the reactionary. If you care about your daughter, your significant other, your wife, dig your sister, your mother, dig deep. Go beyond just the reactionary, she's tripping, and vice versa. Because
I don't
believe it's just relegated to women.
No.
I think it's across the board. And you and I talked about that in the green room about acting out.
Yep, absolutely. And being responsible for what you create in people. You know, I'll say somebody else is tripping or they're acting out, but what did you bring to that? Because nobody responds for nothing. Nobody's just standing there flipping out. They were fine before you walked in. So what did you bring that caused that? And if you're responsible for that, then you can then maybe understand or empathize with what they're going through and be patient and give them a space to share that with you. Like, don't, and be willing to ask questions, even the messy ones that you don't want to hear or that you don't want the response. Because we're afraid of our responses. We're afraid of what's going to be revealed.
Right.
And sometimes you have to be willing just to receive and not necessarily to respond. Everything that you hear doesn't require a response. Sometimes it's just receiving and saying, I'm sorry.
So you left us, you know, as Michelle talks about in her show prior to this, you know, the nuggets, right? So you left us with these very powerful nuggets, learning how to press play, you know, when you have the pause in your life, right? And not allowing the progress to be impeded by the pause. But then also sometimes you just got to learn to receive.
Yeah.
Without the response. And that's something that even, and I can say for myself, I'm learning that now.
right? Mm-hmm. Because it's so easy, especially if you're articulate and you're fast on your feet.
Yep.
I have a response before you got the whole question out.
Yep.
Or your whole statement out. You know, I've played in the mirror of my mind the whole conversation.
Yep.
And sometimes you just got to
wrap it up,
right? And so in this last minute, tell us, one, how we can be supportive of you.
Right.
Two, leave us with something for not just young women and women who are dealing, but people as a whole, because I think it's beyond gender as we address these kind of things. Give them something to encourage them to move forward and press play on their pause.
I got you. I will start with that first. I will say trust the process. Be willing to know that your moment that you're in is not your lifetime. And that you have the power to move past anything. You have to choose that, and you have to choose it powerfully. And you have to be willing to be strong enough to endure any type of repercussions or response that is out there for you to get. And know that you are going to be fine on the opposite side as long as you believe that. If you don't, you will walk yourself right into what you're afraid of getting into. And then for how you can help me, if there is something, an engagement, a speaking engagement, a platform that you would like me to speak at and be a contribution to anyone or any organization, I would love to be a part of that. I am really trying to transfer from behind the chair and be a contribution to people, but there also has to be a way for me to stabilize my family and be paid for my speaking engagement. So, but I am also willing to come out and speak for free at things as well. It just has to make sense for my schedule. But I need to be able to be heard, and I want to make a difference for everyone. And right now we're starting our nonprofit for Ryan Foster Cares. I need as much support behind that as possible. I'm not going to be able to do everything with, you know, all the things that are going on. So I really need a team of people behind me that know how to make that get off the ground and put that in the right direction.
So you've heard the call to action. You know, those who have been empowered by the story, or whose heartstrings have been pulled by the story, reach out to Anika, and let's begin some of these coalitions and groups or that support each other and send this energy around, and not energy in a negative light, but energy healing the community, because Anika's story, unfortunately, is just one of many. And so we want to touch the ones who don't have the microphone, who are still dealing with the pause button in their lives and helping them to move forward. This show, A Time for Healing, is part of a series of shows that we will continuously do until our healing is complete. And that's just really where it is.
Absolutely.
And so I'm so thankful to you, Anika, for coming on the show and sharing your story.
I thank you.
And we will continue to be supportive of you and your efforts. I need you guys to take this show and spread it loud and wide across the airwaves. Make sure you get it to someone who really, truly needs to hear the show, A Time for Healing. This is Heart of the City. You can find us on Facebook, Heart City Radio, Twitter, Heart City Radio, and Instagram, Heart City Radio. Feel beautiful, look beautiful, and act beautiful. Why? Because you are beautiful. See you next week.